It's exempting us a little, not exempting us, but it's double fulfilling our kiyum for Ashkafa, for sure, right? Even though we're going to get back to the, I think we're in the middle of the Chazon Ish, right? We just started reading sections of the Chazon Ish. We're going to get back to that, for sure, 100%. But this is definitely an overlapping topic as well. So let's talk about a few of the things that we were just in the middle of. Which come together, and then we'll try to continue with the Gemara or try to finish it off tomorrow. So the we were talking about the fact that there could be a debate in the Rishonim, or it makes sense to say, based on the Shaka Natari of our Gemara, certainly the Hava Mina, and then the question how to read the Maskana, and then the discussion in the Rishonim, how to understand Kinuyim, and that is whether Kinuyim, the difference between Kinuyim and Shemos, Shena Nimchakim, right, is that, again, either way, I guess the most extreme way would be to say that, Kinuyim are Shemos, and the difference between Shemos, Shena Nimchakim, and Shenos Nimchakim, or Kinuyim, is just quantitative, meaning the fact that one is more objective and intrinsic, and therefore it expresses itself in Isser Nikika. But contextually, right, the fact that you need a contextual, framework is what determines that it isn't asur libchok, but where you have it, the function it can serve will be similar, because it then attains or achieves the status of shemos. Even if you want to say that there's a qualitative difference, even on the level of chefta shel shem between shemos libchokim and shemos she'ena libchokim, which is a little less extreme than what I just said, the idea that kinuyim in context may serve the function of a shame, albeit a different kind of a shame, but they still have some status of shame for certain dinim, is something which is reasonable. I was suggesting that might, not mukhrach at all, I'll just illustrate that even further in just a minute, but that might be helpful for people like Rashi and the Rambam, who really might think that the need for shame b'shvua, but one which can be accomplished through kinuyim, right? Maybe highlights that kinuy really does have that kind of status, and there seems to be, at least I was suggesting, in the Rambam's treatment of Charev and Rachum as opposed to Shamayim Vaaretz, which is complex because we have again the two Rambams, the Rambam in Perek Beis, which I think, as the Lecha Mishnah points out, and as the Maaser Okeach expands, and I tried to expand it also, just in a slightly different way. Seems to be treated differently than some of the other Rishonim, and then has to be weighed against Shamayim Ba'aretz in the end of Hilchos Shmuos and what he says there. But certainly, again, the idea that Kinuyim might achieve the status of shame, and that might be a reason why you could say you need Shem Hashem, and yet you can accomplish it through by means of Kinuyim, is something which works in, I think. Very, very, very well. The idea of the Ramban that you can have two types of kinuyim, in terms of what he says about Shlomo, because he calls that still a kinuy. Yet he says there are, again, the language of the Ramban is very interesting, as we already noted. Right, and that is the not only the Shita, which is fascinating, and then we have another possible example of it in Shalom, but just a second. But again, the language itself, as we already noted, is that it sounds like Ramban thinks that most kinuyim are not shemos. Koshlom amurim b'shir shirim kodesh efshar delinin b'chakka amar v'lo domi l'kinu rachim b'chanim di'ika kinuy shehu shem. And by the way, the example is also shocking, right? Shehu aleph lamed, right? That we'll talk about aleph lamed a little more. But kale, for the Ramban, is a super kinui, right? But Pashtos, kale is a shema shena nimchakim, straight out. He thinks it's a super kinui, and therefore it's eino nimchak, right? V'chein shlomo amur b'shir ashirim, kodesh ve'eino nimchak, aval malach malchaya ha'amur b'danil, shu kodesh, nearly delav le'inyin b'chak kamar, shari ze kinui, ve'eino shem, v'dami l'chanan v'rachum, umuta l'machko. And then, as we said, he extends it to melech ha'kadosh. He could have drawn the line in different places, and so on. So this idea that that there are two types of kinuyim, that even kale, it's a chiddush in kale too, but that the idea that there's something called the super kinuy, but that kinuyim typically are not shemos, is what emerges from Ramban. And again, kale as an example is quite amazing. The question is, the Rishonim who disagree think that there's no such thing as a kinui, you know, which is, there's no such thing as a super kinui. A kinui by definition means, like Ramban was describing most kinuim, that it's shevach, you know, and not anymore. Again, the language of the Nebuka Yosef, when he was explaining, you know, his view about Chanan Rachav, which I was suggesting is very different from the Rambam's, is that, you know, these are Shevach and Gedulas Hashem, but they're not Shemos. He says it very clearly as well. And I think Natan point out that that's the language of the Rimigash as well. And again, if you look at the language of Rimigash, he repeats it several times, right? Alma hani lav Shemos ninu, because they're Nimchakin. Ela zichron shvachohu, the Hagadas Gedulaso, that means the Rachum Chanan, the king, in other words, the Midos HaRachamim, as well as, you know, HaGadol HaGibor HaNora, you know, because those are the HaGadol Gedulaso. And then he repeats, the Enos Shem Mamish, Uparak Abayim Asis, and the Ketoni Barachim HaKanu, La B'Ketush HaShem Kamash Balei, Ki Hechad HaTishma Abdahani Shemos Ninu, he keeps repeating it. El V'Mishu Rachim HaKanu Kamash, Shanim Sesh Hashua B'Shkina Atzma, U'L'Olam Chanu Barachim Lav Shemos Ninu, El Zichron Shvako Sholakar Shbarachim. So again, even just these five times or four times, you just might want to rebel a little bit and say, what do you mean? They're not context. They need a context, or they're qualitatively different. Doesn't mean that they're not shamos, you know, at all. Now, again, here I have to just point out that the Rimigash is an advocate of all shavuos requiring either a shame or a kinut. So the suggestion I made, which is that, you know, there's a certain likely connection between these two different issues, namely, whether you see kinuyim as having any status of shame within context, and the fact that, you know, im kvar az kvar, like, could it be that you require, you know, shame b'shvua, but you could accomplish that through kinuyim? That's what I was suggesting for the Rambam, is not true for the Rimigash. At the very end of the sugya, the Rimigash says, yalfina mikol adahai shmaitza, bein shvua mamish, bein shvuas ha'ala, lo mechayiv elo haroi, bikinui, Hashem kerabana, amo shvua o shvua sa'ala beli shem o bikinui, between beli shem o kinui, right? Lav shvua hi kla. So again, this idea that kinui is a requirement is necessary, but also satisfies the requirement of shvua b'shem, is something that the Rimigash hold. I think though that you know, there's a separate point here, and that is maybe there are two models. One is that you require chetz shel shem b'shvua, and I think that's what the Rambam really holds. Again, I think it's another one of like the five or six or seven or eight or ten examples that we've had in this parak, you know, of where, you know, the Rambam is impacted by the Rimigash, and then he just plugs it in, you know, to his own system. So I think he's influenced by the Rimigash that Shvua is a prerequisite in all. I'm sorry, that Shem is a prerequisite, Shem or Kinui is a prerequisite in all of the Shavuos. But unlike the Rimigash, maybe he holds, the Rimigash holds that's just, you know, part of the definition of a Shua is that it be, you know, L'Shem Hashchina, as he puts it, or L'Shem, that it be connected with Shavacho or Gedulaso Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam thinks that the reason maybe that it's necessary is that it should be, it's part of the Hagdara of Chetzah Shel Shem, it's part of the Hagdara of Shua. It's not the reference, right, it's the Chetzah itself. And we'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. We talk about Lav and Yeah.
I think this is like the biggest problem, but when the Rambam does talk about Kinyan in the Torah,
yeah, we'll talk
does,
about that.
It does use the language.
No, of course they're mishab. If they were intrinsic shemos, they would be nimchakin.
Right.
They would be in a nimchakin. So the question is whether or not the tishbach. I'm only the diuk in the Rajba in the Rimigash and in the Mukhi Yosef and in the Ramban is not that they're calling kinuyim, you know, shivachos or references to gedulas Hashem. It's that they keep also adding that they're really not shemos. That I think is a so for the Rambam, of course the essence of a kinui, which establishes it even as a shame, as something that requires a context, and which therefore is nimchak, maybe even in its context, is the fact that it's primarily Shvachos Shel Hashem. What I'm saying for the Rambam is that if it's Shvachos Shel Hashem, not in an overlapping common denominator way, they're just more quantity or more quality, okay, but it's even more than that. It's like, you know, this Midah comes from the Rabbono Shel Olam, or this, you know, Midah, it has to be, even for Bnei Adam, is understood in this much wider way, you know, because it's part of, you know, the Halakha's view of it. You know, therefore it's like it's quoted, quotation marks around it, you know, and so on. So then this Kinui V'Shevach, you know, Ugedula, can even be somewhat of a shame. But again, let's not lose sight of the fact that it's still different and that it's still Nimchak, right? That's very clear in the Rambam. So I'm not bothered by it at all. I wouldn't expect otherwise. I would be surprised if it weren't that way, frankly. I just think that in the aggregate, there still seems to be a different point. It's a subtle difference. So the Ramban, again, is just a great, whether it's the Ramban's, you know, again, you know, the Ramban is great because he's just telling us that there can be, he says it, there can be two types of kinuyim, essentially. I'm just seizing on that to say, so you could disagree with that point of the Ramban for one of two reasons. You could say, for example, Kel is just a shem shen and imchak. That's not a super kinuy, right? And maybe kinuy, by definition, is a davar shein or shem. That's one way to argue. The other way to argue is, that, you know, is to say what I'm suggesting for the Rambam, and if it's wrong for the Rambam, it could still be right for other people. And that is that kinui is a shame in context, right? But that still doesn't mean that it's going to be enonimcha. Yes. So
the one thing that just bothered me there was that he also plugs in Harehim Kishar Divar Kisveya Kodesh.
Harehim Kishar?
He says, I mean, they're different yourself, but the one I have is Kishar Kisveya Kodesh.
Okay.
Yeah, so they got.
I'm just saying, right, because it's not, as long as it's not Nimchak, that's still true.
Right, no.
But in terms of Shavua or things that still require a Hefta Shel Shem, and I'm seizing on the fact, again, that, you know, this Kanan Barakom idea, which is that it's different than Shemayim Va'aretz, you know, because that too is a reference to Nirvana Sholem, but it isn't, you know, necessarily Shevachu, Gedula, and whatever, and therefore it's just not a shame. But if, you know, just need a reference to whom, you know, you're referring, then it's certainly more than that. Okay, anyway, so the Rimigash, I think, this is another example where the Rambam was influenced by the Rimigash, but didn't go as far as the Rimigash, and in a very reasonable way, I think. Okay, so let's talk about, just to finish this off, and then we'll go back to Shem Hashem, the Shem Aleph Dalet for a minute, and then Shem Moshe and Chokim just a little more expansively. We'll probably still have to get back to it. And then a little bit about prefixes and suffixes, and then the question of requiring shame, just to sum that part up. So on the Aleph Dalet side, so we already talked about it. I just want to add a point or two. We already talked about the discussion of Rabbeinu Chananel, right, the Gersa of Rabbeinu Chananel, that Aleph Dalet, even though it doesn't stand alone as a shame, because it doesn't have any meaning, you know, by itself, still is Eino Nimchak. So that, again, is built on two assumptions. It's built on the assumption that you can have an Eino Nimchak which doesn't stand on its own in terms of having independent meaning or self-sufficient meaning. You could have said that the din of Mechika alone makes that not possible. Meaning, apparently, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, if you have, you know, components of a shame, if something is associated with Shem Hashem, or it's a component of Shem Hashem, that also would be Eino Nimchak. It's an expansion of the din of Eino Nimchak, is what I'm trying to say. Moreover, it also assumes like a very special status for the Shem Hanikra, you know, as being, you know, sharing, you know, with the Shem Haniktav, you know, some sort of status. And we have to examine this a little more fully. What about Megadeh, for example? Right, or other things that require Shem HaMiyuchad or Shem HaMeforash, right? Is that limited to Yud Kei Vav Kei, or does it apply to Aleph Dalet Nun Yud as well? But this notion of the Rach is an expansion of Nimchak, and it's also a certain perspective that Aleph Dalet, right, is like Yud Kei Vav Kei, has its own status, and that is enough for this din, obviously. That Yud Kei Vav Kei might have been that. Is more obvious, and for two reasons. If this is where it comes from, number one, because that's the shame hamafurash, you know, hanichtav. We already discussed this nichtav nikra issue in general about kriyas about Torah and kriyas haTorah and that interface. But that alone might have been reason to be mechalek. You know, even if you were to say, in other words, that components alone can constitute sufficient kedusha for the din of mechika, one still could have said, well, this is on a higher level, qualitatively, maybe even, and certainly quantitatively. It's hard to know about the qualitative part, maybe even both. But it's also interesting, of course, you could have short-circuited the whole discussion. I mean, for most Rishonim, the discussion is not the difference between Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Shema Nichtav, and the Shema Nikra, Aleph Dal and Yud. It's the fact that, again, the Chika just requires a standalone shame. So it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei is not because of Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's because of Yud Kei itself. So this kind of raises an interesting question, whether or not, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that's even true. Being the name Yud Kei, is that, you know, really, truly a standalone name? Or is that only a standalone name, you know, because it's part of the components of Shema Meforash? Right? So, you know, what would happen, right, it's hard to know this, but let's say there are other components of the name, assuming that they were associated that way, they were identified that way. Now, is Yud Kei a name because it's miktsas Yud Kei Vav Kei, or in its own right? That's really what I'm asking. For most Rishonim, it's in its own right, clearly, because it's used that way. And you just wonder whether, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, for there to be any kind of paradigm, he just doesn't assume that that's how that became kind of an independent shame. So Aleph Dalet doesn't have that, you know, kind of expression, maybe, but at least there's part of the paradigm. And as was previously noted, even the idea that maybe part of the whole Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Yud Kei Vav Kei, you know, parallel in general, may also be the substitution of letters, right? So the Aleph Dalet is Yud Kei. It isn't just that both are, you know, components from, you know, Shem HaMeforash of one type or another. It's that it really is the same din. There are some of Farshim who suggest that too. Yeah.
Is there an understanding
So I don't know. I think that's what I was about to just ask. And what would be, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, what does your kavana have to be? We'll see in a second that some, you know, suggest for the Raven that, for example, that might make a difference. We'll see in a second. But that's the next thing I was going to raise. Do you need to be, and is it better if you were trying to write Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and just wrote Aleph Dalet? Right? But you could ask the same thing about Yud Kei Vav Kei. Say again? That you're trying to write one and you stop? Yeah, I just don't know whether Rabbeinu Chananel will say that it isn't always that way or not. I don't know. I mean, I think either way you could explain that or limit it that way, but I don't know whether it's mukhra. And what if you did, as I say, other letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei? There might be good reason to think, well, it has to be in the right order. I'm just saying, once you're starting with this, that it isn't. Again, the Pashtus is, this has nothing to do with Shema Meforash one way, if you don't hold like Rabbeinu Chananel. And Yud Kei is, you know, a standalone name. And the end of story. But I'm just saying, once you start with Rabbeinu Chananel, right, there are basically several things to say about Aleph Dalet, right, and also about Yud Kei in the context of Yud Kei Vav Kei in light of it. So these are something that we should look at. The Ramah in Simid Reish Ayin Vav Sifud, I told you, Nichol Sefer Torah, there are some interesting discussions, quotes this Rabbeinu Chananel, and he also quotes something else which caught the eyes of all the Mefarshim. What did I say? Reish Ayin Vav? There. So the Ramos, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kosov Kel Melokim Kome Hashem Osha Kosov Shem Yud Kei Einam Nimchak. Here's both, right? Aval Shin Dalid Meshakai Tzadi Beis Mitzvakos Nimchak. Right, and then the Rama says, V'chein Aleph Dalad Me Aleph Dalad Nun Yud. This is interesting. Aleph Hey Me Ekya. That's based on the Yerushalmi, So that's interesting. But the Rama here is saying that that would be Nimchak. What's the Haba Mina? Right, about Aleph Hey. And he says, V'yesh Machmirin Bazeh. Okay. Quoting Tosas, and he says Tosas Shvuas Ha'edus B'Shem Rach B'Shem Shekosu B'Sidurin Beis Yudin B'Achas Al Gabeim Mutal Amachko Imu L'Tzorech. That's a psak of the Trumas Hadesh. Okay, so when he says V'yesh Machmirim B'Zeh, and he quotes Tosas in Rabbeinu Chananel, does he mean both of these, Aleph Dalid and Aleph Hey? Or not?
He just saw it come out of Hemekia.
What?
Yeah, out of Hemekia is what came last. So it's either both or the last.
One would think so. So that's how the Taz read it. But again, he's also quoting the source as Tosas in Shavuos, where the Rabbeinu Chananel says it only by Aleph Tav. Yeah, I understand. So, I mean, that is the source. Aleph Dalad me Aleph Dalad Nun Yud O Aleph Hey Hagah Zos Mekoma Achar Sif Yud Matan Dadka Kael and Yud K Shem Shemos Bifnei Atzmon Kamash Mon Kan Avgav Niskav Nikta Velukim Velo Niskay Memachshav To Mib Kamakom Kodesh V'yesh Machmirim Bazeh Pirish Gam Ba Aleph Dalad Ve Aleph Hey. That's a Taz. This is Taz Sipkotin Taz. But Tamavur betosis perik shmuas aedos de chmiru bezeh yoseli b'shar dvari. Most of the, I'm sorry, yoseli b'shin dalet of shakai and tzadik base of tzavakos shezeh shema miyuchadu. According to this view, aleph hey, let's see in a moment, right, is a also a shema miyuchad. That's the shame that the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to invoke, right, in the context of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Very interesting, right? Ubilvush nasantam shal pia kabbalah aleph hey is kmo yud kei. Okay, lefi dvarav lo koi yesh machmirim rak al aleph hey, v'lo al aleph dalad, v'lo ra divrei Tosfos shezacharti din bevur shegam ba'aleph dalad machmirin. The Taz turned everything upside down. You know, he says, it sounds like only Aleph Hey, because of this Kabbalic, interchange with Yud Kei. Either way, that's interesting for us, because we were talking about, right, the differentiation between, in a way, if you hold like the Levush, so it's really Din and Yud Kei Bav Kei, but not a Din and Aleph Dalet, right, if you limit it to that. And he's saying, but the Rabbeinu Chananel, said it by Aleph Dalet. Okay, so you have to look here at the Poskim. I'm not going to go into right now, but if you look at some, the Piskei Tshuva, and so on, whether people are machmir for this or not, but Aleph Dalad Yud K and Aleph Hey, could emerge, as having special status, right? In light of all this, anyways, the Raibid in Nukhzi Sodi HaTorah Perek Vav, right? Halacha Dalad has a comment that is challenging because we just don't know. We basically don't know what he wants, right? By now, I should probably know that Yisrael HaTorah is the beginning of Sefer Mada, right? Kosav Aleph Lamed Melokim, right? Yud Hey Me Hashem, Heino Nimcha. Vein tzarech lomar yud hei shehu shem b'fnei atzma b'fnei sheza shem miktsas shem ha'meforashu. Okay, so that's interesting. The Rambam says that basically you require something which is independent, right? The Rambam is adding to our discussion here, and then he says ein tzarech lomar, right? That it has two, yud hei has two ingredients. It's a shame bifnei atzmo, right? But the reason that it's a shame, if he says the reason it's a shame b'fnei atzmo is mipnei sheza shame mitzvah shame hamefarashu. Right? So, again, I was saying before, like, where did Rabbeinu Chananel, it seems like Rabbeinu Chananel made two leaps from Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei to Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Number one, he assumed that what's good for the Shema Nechtam is good for the Shema Nikra. Number two, right, most of Rishonim are going to answer Rabbeinu Chananel, what are you talking about anyway? This has nothing to do with Shema Meforash, Nechtam, or Nikra. It's just a din in the independent status of Yud Hey as a shame, just like Kale is a shame b'fnei atzmo. So the Rambam very subtly is addressing this, because Rambam is saying ain't so much chomer Yud. Rambam is saying Aleph Lamed and Yud K, right? And then he adds ain't so much chomer Yud K, because its status as an independent shame, right, is dafka b'toras chelek b'shem amatorash. Aval akosev shin dalid mishaka tzaka tzadi beis mitzvokos, or isn't it? Anyways, so that's the Rambam's additional comment, which we now appreciate better. Then the Raidit says, Omer Ram zeinu klum shul omru ela kel melokim v'yudke me'ashem aval shin dalid mishaka tzadi beis mitzvokos reilin imchakim. So no one understands what the Raidit is talking about, because that's what the Rambam just said. Right? So the Kesef Mishnah has two suggestions. Not going to be the whole thing, but Yeshu Tzmoa should divra Raivin named divra Abenu, Os Baos. Right, that's cute, because, right, we're talking about Osios here. Right? Hey, you know, Kosova loves Zeno Klum. Yeshomba Kavonis Raivin Lomar Shalahuskur Begamar El Yud, Me Yud Kevavke, Lomadapka Kishin Iskavi Lithav Hashem, Sholem, the Kosov Yud K, right, Lemala Shema Miyuchad. So again, the Kesef Mishnah has a very fascinating suggestion here. Again, he doesn't say it, but it's linked to probably the Ain't Tzorach Lomar comment to the Rambam. He says, if you try to write Kael Melokim, whether you intend the Elokim and end up only writing Kael, or you intend the Kael, it doesn't make a difference, because Kael stands on its own. Again, you can probably argue on that too. But Yud Kei Vav Kei, says the Kesef Mishnah, is only a shame b'fnei atzmo, because it's miktas mi Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ah! It's from the yichus of that. And therefore, you might have thought that if you really intend to write Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and you stop at Yud-Kei, right, then that is, you know, Kodesh. But if you only intend to begin with to write Yud-Kei, maybe that's no good. Therefore, the Kamash Malon is, Behevi kol loshon abraisa kolom einu od milvado yikei mechit teson v'medaknik v'loshon v'nihir she'in mokom Lasagaso, Shadato Zalomer di Yudke, who mixas Shema Mephora, Shemitzad de Tolav, Haknusha, Machin Lomano also the Shemos, Shenim Kokim. This is also the Kesef Mishnah in the Port Nahara. We'll see in a moment that the Ram doesn't quote Yudke in the Shemos Shenim Nimchakim. So that's the Ramam Lashitaso, because the Ramam thinks that Yudke is just mixas Yudke Babke. Vashenkein Kalon Elokim. The Kel have a shame b'fnei atzmo, the lo b'fnei shu mitzas shem elokim, the kibush hakosev mitzas hashem ha'meforosh enu nimchak, kol shken hakosev yud kei, the kavona shem b'fnei atzmo sheyesh lo shtei kedushos, kedushos shem ha'meforosh u kedushos shu shem b'fnei atzmo, v'chem meforosh b'sachat sofer. Says maybe there are two dinim of yud kei vav kei, of yud kei, u'bishali tar kama de Megillah, and so on. Right, and that's where the Raivid disagree. Bezemagor b'divra abenu shekosev yud kei lekavana shem b'fnei atzmo eino nimchak udilo kedemashma mi Raivid shehu nimchak efshe shen zdam lal Raivid b'divra abenu nuscha ze nyona. A different point. We'll get to that in a second. So the first shot that he's suggesting is that the Rambam and the Raivid argue exactly about what Eli was asking about Aleph Dalet, right? But on the yud kei part, namely, you write Yud K, which is better, by the way, writing, intending to write Yud K, Vav K, and then stopping at Yud K, or intending to write Yud K alone? Which is better, which is worse?
You
could go either way, yeah. Right? So, obviously, on the one hand, you could say that the intent to write Yud K, Vav K is what gives added stature to the components, right? And therefore, you know, it's mekadesh it, or it has that chalos, right, of mitzas Hashem. There's an intended mitzas Hashem, and therefore dafka that is. But you know, if you write it, you know, on its own, if it doesn't have a status on its own, so then ironically, kale, you know, written not as Elokim or Eloka, right, but intended kale would be worse than ka. The other way, of course, to look at it, which I think you could argue with equal, you know, suasiveness, is that, you know, if you intend Yud K, so then it's not a toes, and you know, you haven't kind of, fallen short of your goal and your expectation, right? And therefore, it's a shame. But, you know, if you were going for gold, you know, you're going for Shema Mefura, Shema Meyuchad, Shema Nichtav, or whatever, and you fall short, so maybe that's nothing. So, logically, I think you could argue either way. The Kesef Mishnah is suggesting this Gufa is a Machlokas between the first suggestion, the Kesef Mishnah, is this Machlokas Ramanai. But either way, what we have here is so interesting. In the Kesef Mishnah's formulations, there are three formulations, right? Ka is in the, there are two dinim, Ka and the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Or Ka is just Ka, like kale, right? Or it's only Betoras, the beginning of Yud Kei Vav Kei, or the status of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Oh, what's the second pshat? He said maybe there's a different nusach in the Rambam. Kosav Aleph Lamed Melokim Vav Hei Mi Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ah, so let's say you only write Vav Hei. Right? Eino nimchak. Kach nir shoyz aduskas ha'agos, kushta, I guess. Shekosvu vav hei, mehei, kolodam yibakule, gal ze amar, de lo amru ala yud kei. Aval tzadi beis ha'shin dalet nimchakin, hu adin le vav hei, kivin shein o shein b'fnei atzma. Right? This is a tshuva, the maram al shakar, Shekavodas arayv in the hasig already been mentioned. Kasev shin dal mishaker tzavakos. Lehishlo mashemer is a nimchak. Mashem by kasev hashem kulo ena yachal nimchok yimenu. Even the first part, maybe that's the. So there are three suggestions essentially as to what the argument is. Now this supports the second point. This idea of vav hey is fascinating because let's assume you had that nusach again. If there's some validity, if it's just totally wrong. But let's assume there that's a. Somebody holds that way, or somebody thinks that's possible. So then what emerges is something really interesting, and that is, again, that Aleph Dalid, Nun Yud, and Yud K, Vav K, share something in common, and a chiluk. Right? Meaning, they're both connected, and as the Nikra and the Nichtav of Shema Meforash, or Shema Meyuchad, right, even their component, their constituent components, right, have status. Except that no one thinks that Nun Yud, right, has that status. And it doesn't seem like you even need the Chiddush, you know, to say Yud K, according to the Yud He, right? So maybe that's because, no, that's just a shame b'fnei atzmo, just like Kale is a shame b'fnei atzmo. But either way, the idea that even the last two letters, you know, so again, you'd have to say two things. The fact that it's out of order, and so on, gives it a chalos of chelik mishemos or osios mishemos hamafor. You could have said that's not osios mishema mafurash. Then what's the mitzarev? By the way, you could say this even according to, if you wanted to argue with Rabbeinu Chanan, then Rabbeinu Chanan would be right. Let's say if you had, you know, osios mishema mafurash, a chalos of it, then maybe it would be also eno nimchak. You know, but the only time that we consider it to be may osios shema beforash, right, as if it's, you know, something that also has, you know, independent significance or something like that, right? Certainly that argument is even more true with respect to vav hey. If you have this gear, so you're assuming two things: that vav hey is a shame, shemos has a shame, or a chalos of shemos mishema meforash, even though it's only the end and it seems rather, I don't know, distant from the whole thing, and that b, that you know, that you have that, or that is where you get the qualitative difference. Any shemos in yud kei vav kei, you know, have that, and in aleph dalet nun yud, you have to have the beginning at least. Otherwise, you don't have that chalos of shemos mishemos of authority. Yeah.
So we're saying that the aleph dalet is not a shame to Nasrallah.
We're saying what?
Aleph dalet, even if Rabbi Nachman Adol is not a shame
to Nasrallah. I'm saying that it's betoras aleph dalet nun yud. Chelik mi aleph.
So that if you took a shura of the aleph dalet, it wouldn't work.
Good question. Possibly not. Possibly not. I don't know. Not 100% sure. But I think if it would work, then it would only be because it's Einu Mimcha.
The Ritz says yes.
What?
The Ritz says
okay.
It will.
Well, if he had a according to Menachem, if he made a shua b'shem al dalet.
Well, he learns the Mishnah when it says Aleph Dalet and Yod Hey, that's talking about.
What?
He learns the Mishnah when it says Aleph Dalet and B'Yod Kei, that's talking about Chatzi Hashem.
Chatzi Hashem.
That's how you learn the Mishnah.
Even the Gabe Shua.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I think, I'm not so sure that that is, that's Mukrach at all.
The Torah of Mayans, when he's reading this Rabbeinu Hanan, he says, V'nir yam kazo ha'al da'av yishin magnus, ha'avalei ki ilu kazo yishin yishin havaya, ha'avalei ki ilu kazo yishin yishin ha'asma, ha'na shnei shemos ki kradin yishin.
No, no, so that's the other pshat that we're saying, 100%. Now, Dave, what's the reason that Aleph Dalet has this status? Right, so I was suggesting, that I don't remember the Torah's time. Somebody, some of them Farshim say it's because Aleph Dalet Nun Yud Yud Kei Vav Kei are just totally substitutable. It's like when you write Aleph, you're writing Yud. When it's right, you write Dalet, you're writing Hey. So if that's the Pshat, then it's like Ka, and then it's like Ka, which will work for Shua 100%. So what you're quoting, that's Torah's time. Okay. So that if you hold that that's the pshat or ben chananel, then of course that's the case. But if the reason is not because I don't think that's a simple pshat or ben chananel. I think the simple pshat or ben chananel is that since this is the nikra of the shema b'farash, so not that therefore it's ka, even though it's nonsensical and it's not a shame b'fnei atzmo. There are two dinim of either ka also is only because of that, as we said before, or ka has two dinim, or ka became a shame bifnei atzmo because of that, but the nikra doesn't have that power, but it is b'toras component. I think that's a simple shot of Rabbeinu Chananel.
Right, the simple shot. If you're an aleph.
Right. So then, where do you draw the line? That's the other thing I was going to mention. I wanted to get the vav hey in because I think that's interesting. And let's say you wrote aleph dalet nun. Or just, it seems like Aleph isn't enough.
Well, why not?
So I would say because it falls short, it's not enough, it falls short on my other issue. The last issue I was talking about, which is, let's assume that Shemos, or components of Shema Mefurash, also qualify, even though they're not Shemos in their own right. But what's to say, or how do you define what is considered, you know, Mitzuraf, even to the components of Shema Mefurash? So I think if you have one letter that doesn't even begin. I was saying before, in Nun Yud wouldn't do it, even though Vav Hey maybe would. Okay, and by the same token, Yud wouldn't, even in Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Aleph wouldn't. I mean, you need a certain critical mass and a certain association. I think if you put them out of order, like even if Vav Hey would work, I'm sure Yud Vav wouldn't work, even according to that Girsa. I mean, that's a second question. What constitutes a chalos of shemos, of osios mishem ha-meforash, as opposed to just random, you know, letters of the alphabet?
Last year, kavana, that's not enough.
Right. I think kavana is not enough. I think there has to be an objective level, you know, critical mass connection or association with the, you know, with the shema ha-meforash.
So, like, if you're writing in, like, gracious, and you're, like, intending to write the shema agnes?
Well, that's a different question in general. Let's say you just make a mistake of, like, a plaintiff's, Lashon or Ksiba, that's a discussion in the, there's a Tashbit that says that, it gets a Sugen Gittin, you're trying to write, Yehuda in the Get, and you wrote, or in Sefer Torah, you think it says Yehuda, and you end up writing Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's in terms of Kedusha Hashem. But the Tashbit says the same thing even about Shemos. Nimchakim inim nimchakim. That if you just make it's like misase. That's an interesting question. Depending on what your position is there, how would you apply that? You know, something like Aleph Dal. So Aleph alone, I think, certainly wouldn't work. Yud alone certainly wouldn't work. I think it's a tremendous chiddush to say Vav Hey, although I like it as just an interesting in the hierarchy. Aleph Du. I think the simple pshat in Rabbeinu Hananel is not like the Torah's Chaim. Although I like the Torah's Chaim, I just think it's based on another. It's based on a big assumption about the parallelism, and then it's less of a chiddush then to say the rest of it. Whereas I think the Pashtus, it's a bigger chiddush about the din of Aleph Dalet and a smaller chiddush, or you don't say necessarily the chiddush about the interchangeability of the letters. Although again, you have that in Aleph, Hey, Yud, Hey, too, according to Labush, you know, Alpi Kabbalah, but something like that. In other words, that this letter, or it's like an Atbash, or a, you know what I mean, but not in the structure of the letters, but in the, right, that inner connection to what they mean and so on.
Well, he's arguing against that.
What?
He said explicitly that like Aleph Hey from Aleph Hey would not be anything.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Okay. So this is these are some of the issues in the Tshuva of the Maram Al Shakar also. We have another couple of minutes. Is also something to look at. So now, having said that, let's look very briefly at Shemos She'ena Nimchakim themselves. Okay. And there are interesting questions to ask. I mean, we already discussed, you know, the hierarchy of kinui. We've already seen that there's a hierarchy of like specialty shemos, you know, for Birchas Kohanim and Shema Mefarash and the Mikdash. Like, what are those? You know, or you know, Kol HaTorah Kula, if you want, you know, for the Ramban and the Zohar and all of that, the big shmosa, like the ultimate Shema Shem, whatever. So that's one thing to think about. Like those work in these contexts, they're more specialized even, right, in a certain way. But then of course there's Shema Mefarash and the Shema Nichtav and the Shema HaNikra in particular, and we're seeing already with Rabbeinu Hananel, with the Rambam, with the Ravid, you know, some of the echoes, you know, of that, which I think is really interesting. You know, how does that fit in? Then in the other extreme you have the Kinuyim, right? Maybe you have two types of kinuyim. How does the, you know, Shemo Shen and Nimchakim as something in between kinuyim and the two Shema Meforash, how does that go? And partly the question is, how do you look at Shemo Shen and Nimchakim? And also whether, you know, the Shema Meforash, or at least, you know, again in the hierarchy, at least the Shema Aleph Dal and Nun Yud, maybe even the Shema Yud Kevavke, are they different in their status of Shein, are they not Shemos Shein and Mechakim, or are they Shemos Shein and Mechakim plus? Are they, I don't mean whether you can be Mochek them, you certainly can't be Mochek them, but I'm asking, is are they on the list of Shemos Shein and Mechakim, or are they Midin that, because they're two Dinim, or because they're quantitatively and qualitatively even more, or it's just totally different, right? Shema Meforash is just Shema Meforash, and you know, it's not even in the group. And that's an interesting question and an important question to ask. So it's interesting, what are the list of names in Shemos Shein and Nimchakim? Ah. So what are the list of names in Shemos Shein and Nimchakim? Now, Yoni, what are the names that we have? Is that an easy question to answer?
Definitely?
Nah. Why not? Nice, you say, for the Nachasim. You open up your Gemara, you look it up. Why is it not such an easy question to answer?
Different combinations
of the Rishonim. Correct, because the Rishonim have different lists, or there seem to be different lists, and they differ from each other a little bit. So what do we have in the Gemara? The list in the Gemara? In our Gemara? We have a list, right?
Yeah.
What do we have? So let's go through quickly, very quickly, but slow, but not just, you know, what is it? One second. Where's the list?
There's this line on here.
Al-Flamir, Kale, Kafa, Lokimo.
What's that? So it's Al-Flamir, that's Kale. Okay. Is that so? Oh, Kale, Kale, Kim. Okay. Let's assume. Kale, what's the next one?
Okay,
what do you think about that?
Probably be Kale.
Yeah, so the question is, why does that, should that really be, as we've discussed already, should that be a separate one? Or is that just a suffix of kale or alukim, right, or something like that? In which case, okay, maybe that's all we mean by it, but like, does it deserve, independent status? Or, again, the conceptual way would be to say that what I was trying to suggest the other day, and that is that in this case, the association, right, has implications about the Ribbono Shel Olam and divinity itself, right? The notions of hashkacha, hashkacha to individuals, hashkacha to the tzibur, right? So, in addition to just being technically okay, these are things you can't be mochek, where it might have been enough to say, okay, any derivative of kale, right? Keli, elokecha, assuming kale and elokim, or maybe it's elokim at least, elokim, elokecha, elokeinu, elokechem, right? If it's just a list of things so you'll know what not to be mochek, then fine. But if these are, somehow independent on the list, I'm suggesting that the identifications here are theologically significant. Okay, so kale, what's the next one?
Elokecha.
Elokecha, already we're wondering at least. Go ahead.
Elokim.
Elokim, which sounds like, again, standalone, and we also note that as in the thinking of Chazal, as Midas Hadin, this lot written from the very beginning psukim of the Torah, right? Elokim, the world is created with Elokim. That's the first Shem Hashem that we encounter. Then it's Hashem, and then it's Hashem Elokim. All the question of Rachmanus Bedin, Din Barachamim, all the nuances of that. So that's interesting. Go ahead.
Elokecha.
Again, once you have Elokim and Elokecha, do you really need Elokechem? And how's that different than Elokecha with a Yud? Right? The answer may be many people as opposed to a nation? Okay. Or the nation, right? Atem Asisuni Kativachas Palam, right? Keep going. Okay, that's interesting again, because that's Moshe Rabbeinu's, and we just got a little whiff of the possibility, right, that is even something more akin to a kind of Shema Meforash, right, and also has associations, has the association with Moshe Rabbeinu and Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the beginning of nationhood. It also has the association of Hoya Hove Viya, meaning the Ribbono Shel Olam being the creator of time and being above and beyond time, having a different perspective of time, which is critical. Go ahead.
Aleph Dalet.
Yeah.
Yud
Hey. Aleph Dalet.
Aleph Dalet, comma. Just Aleph Dalet.
Okay.
Yud Hey.
Okay.
Shakai and
Tzvokos. And Tzvokos we already spoke about. Okay, so that's, how many are there? Nine. Okay. So what other list is there?
The Rambam.
And where's the Rambam?
Surya.
Yeah, so what is then? There are different girsos in the Rambam, too, but just discuss it for a second, and then we'll have to stop because we have our Isaac's, catering. Right? So you see, they're so inflappable. Oh, is there already? Yeah.
He doesn't mess around.
I can see he has a lot of confidence in them. I see you have a lot of confidence in that. Okay. So what's the Rambam? Vav Beis, Yisari HaTorah. What is it? How many does he have, by the way?
He says seven.
He says he has seven. Yes. And what is he? What happens there? What? Yeah. He says, here are my seven Shemos, Shen, and Mekakim, then he gives you eight. Okay, that's already... the Rambam was laughing, Let's see if the guys are good or not. Okay. No, but it's good. Laughing in a good way, like, it's Hunibana kind of laughing. Right? Okay? Go ahead. So what are the, the Rambam didn't know the difference between seven and eight. He wanted you to know that the eight are seven. Although he's not going to tell you which one is subsumed. So number one, instead of nine in the Gemara, he insists that there are seven, and then he gives you eight. Okay? So, moreover, are they exactly the same as in the Gemara? Some of the Gemara are not there, and some that the Rambam provides are not in the Gemara. So what's the Rambam's list that we have in the text? How does it go? First one is?
Okay.
Read it. Ah, very important. Right, what does he say? Okay. So again, is that relevant to this halakha, Nichlus Yesod HaTorah? Because there are going to be things on the list that are not Shema Mefarash. So is it just like on Don't Forget? Maybe. It could be. It could be an innocuous comment. But it could be a significant comment. Meaning this is the Rambam's way of saying, maybe one or two opposites thing, I'm not sure. But the Rambam wants you to note, even though these are Shema Shein and Nimchakim, the first one on the list is Shema Mefarash. Meaning Shema Furash and Shema Nimchakim have nothing to do with each other and it's just overlap, or Bekla Basayim Mana, or even the din of Einan Nimchakim, right, includes a component of Shema Meforash. It starts with that. Right? That's the most egregious Mechika, because that's the most intrinsic shame. And what's fascinating is, Yud Kei Vav Kei even appear on the list? In our Gemara? No. So it's the first of the Rambam, and he's emphasizing a Shema Meforash. What's missing and what appears on the list instead? Yud Kei. Right? What? No, so that's the point. That's what the Kesef Mishnah, what we were mentioned before, when the Kesef Mishnah was discussing, he was trying to answer this question. So he was saying, not just shorthand. Unless what you mean conceptually shorthand. Meaning, if Yud Kei is an independent shame, which is the view of some Rishonim, in the same way that Kale is an independent shame, then this might be an issue or a problem. Right? But the point is, if the Mechayiv, which is what the Rambam seems to say later on, if the Re'ein Tzar Klomar, if Yud Kei is, right, a shame, Dafka, because it's Chelek Mishema Meforash, which is what the Rambam says, right, then you understand why he preferred to say. Now, in the Braisa, they don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. Is that just because Kalvachomer, or because of the Rambam, or is it because, no, that's Shema Meforash? That's not to say that Shema Shein Einam Chakim is to trivialize it. It's much more than Einam Nuchakim. It's intrinsic Shema Hashem. Yeah.
The Brace also says only Aleph Dalet.
Say again?
The Brace only also says Aleph
Dalet. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. It might be more than one day. So we'll get back to that. So let's just go one by one. So Yud Kei Vav Kei is not in the Brace, it is in the Rambam, and that works very nicely with the view of Yud Hey, which he develops as we discussed, and the Kesef Mishnah already makes that Ha'ara. It's not my Ha'ara. Okay, Vehu Shema Mefurash. Go ahead, keep going. What's the next one? Vehu Anichtav Adni. Again, the Rambam didn't need to say this here, but again, he is telling you, right, that it's a Shema HaNikra, which gets its Yichus from the Shema HaNichtav. I mean, it's the Mefurash of the Nikra, right? So that he's emphasizing the Shipaso. Don't think this is a separate din or just a common denominator. No, this is the super, the uber, in a nimkox, because they're the most intrinsic, shamos. Go ahead.
Mikael.
Okay, so Kale he has that. That's in our price as well. Okay, something. But then he has Eloka, which is not in the Brisa, which is so interesting, and that's a kind of like a neutral again. Eloka is, it's not connected. It's, it's distinctive. It stands on its own, right? Like Elokim, right? And what else? He has Eloka, and then he has Elokim. Now, obviously, they're not the same either, right? But they're both not connected to suffixes. Okay. Again, he cut all of those out. Right, because apparently he thought they were just suffixes. They're not. They don't change the chetza shel shem legabi nimchak. But eloka and elokim and kale are separate. Okay, they connote, let's say, different midos of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And then comes in our text.
Okay.
Yeah, we said that. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, elokai.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So the personal one is the only one he has. Go ahead. And then you have Shakai and Tzavakos. Some girsas are, instead of Elokai, Aleph Hei Yud Hei. Right? Correct? in some of the texts. So is that one of the Shemo Shenanim Chakim? Or is that just, you know, kind of like a... You know, we have a range of views on that. Is it, you know, more than a regular Shem Nimchak, something even closer to Shema Mefarash? Or less? Again, an Eloka is the only one of the suffixes. Elokai is the only one, correct? Okay. So that is... okay, so we're going to have to stop here. Okay, we'll talk about this. Okay, so we'll talk about this a little more tomorrow, and then we want to go through the Gemara about Rav Chanina, Bar Idi, and Chachamim, and also Mechal Avot Hashemeh. Hey, make sure to look at the Girsa Rashi, Tosis, the Ramban, you know, that whole issue, because that's a Shua Seidus issue. Again, Mekalel B'Shem, Mekalel in Shem Hamis Barech, and Shem Hamis Barech, Mekalel Atzmo, the Ravid, the Grizzes that we, all that stuff, hopefully we'll try to finish up mostly tomorrow, and hopefully soon we'll start moving into the Shua Seidus. Okay, is our guest?